You're listening to the Holistic Spaces podcast, brought to you by Mindful Design Feng Shui School, episode 340, Feng Shui Chi Forecast for August 2025. Welcome to episode 340 of the Holistic Spaces podcast, where we hope to inspire, educate, and empower you to create your own holistic spaces that nurture and resonate with you. Laura Morris and Angie Cho are the founders of Mindful Design Feng Shui School and authors of Mindful Living, a guide to the everyday magic of feng shui. We teach feng shui online at mindfuldesignschool.com. Sign up for our mailing list for special free content, workshops, and events that are available only to our newsletter subscribers. And one special thing that we have available now, only for our newsletter subscribers, is a giveaway for a free mini home consultation that will be aired on the podcast. So if you win, you'll actually be a guest on the Holistic Spaces podcast. And if you listen to a recent episode where we did a home consultation with Lori from Everybody Talks podcast, it'll be really similar to that, but like a mini version, a smaller version. It won't be in person, but it's such a gift to the listeners, I think, to be able to eavesdrop into a real home consultation. And it's a great opportunity for you to get personalized feedback on your feng shui. So Laura and I really love doing this. We hope you'll enter the giveaway. And all the information on how to enter the giveaway is on our newsletter. So it'll be on the top of the newsletter. And basically, you just write a review for the podcast or for our book, Mindful Living, and you take a screenshot, and then you'll be entered in our giveaway. So we have August coming up, coming in, and it's our monthly Chi forecast. So we will get started, as we usually do, with Laura telling us about the Chi of the month.
Hello, everyone. Yes, we are in August, or soon to be in the days coming. And as we always do in our Chi forecast, we talk a little bit about some of the key dates that are from the solar terms, which is the Chinese solar calendar. We talk about the two key terms for the month, and we talk a little bit about the full moon and what energy that is. And Angie will be doing a divination reading. Angie will be doing an I Ching reading this month. And we'll talk a little bit also about how you can weave that into what you do at home. And let's first talk a little bit about what August means to each of us. And when we think about the month of August, it really is the last days of summer, depending on where you are in your time of life and, you know, whether or not you maybe have school age kids or maybe you've retired. It might be something different for each person. But I always seem to feel that this August, month of August, is such a lovely time to sort of hold on to all the treasures that the summer has to offer, and also see that it is a time of transition. And it's a time of transition for both mundane everyday life, getting ready for back to school maybe, or you know, sometimes even if you're not going back to school, it still feels like, you know, you're getting ready to start, the fall's coming. But it's also a time to take stock, to look at the energy of the month, and that the energy is also transitioning. Summer is represented by fire chi. So we've got big yang summer energy, but in August, it starts to recede. And also it becomes a time which is quite productive, literally productive, like with fruits and vegetables, harvesting, picking, cultivating, all that stuff begins in the month of August. And if you look at what the key solar terms are, the first solar term of August is called Autumn Begins. And this might seem a bit early. And typically with the solar terms, you're looking at the energy. It's based on a lot of the chi and when it's beginning to shift. And so the yang chi is peaking and now it's tipping down, and we're slowly going to see the build of yin energy. And August also represents an interesting in-between time. So it's this sort of in-between that fire chi of summer and the metal that will be coming in for the fall and for the autumn. And so the start of these last days of summer can actually be quite hot, quite dry. I mean, even though it's called autumn begins, it's still going to feel like the hottest point of the summer. But in this in-between time, there's sort of an interesting nuance, and that has to do with the earth element representing that buffer between the different elements. So it doesn't just go fire, boom, into metal. Earth provides a bit of a boundary line. So you'll have that late summer, that harvest summer, that, you know, that the long sort of summer that it, you know, feels goes in a little bit longer in that, and then it eventually begins to cool, and then we're going into autumn. So days will begin to get shorter. We're remembering that this is a slow, slow transition, and that there's always, you know, this bounty and this harvest. And come August 23rd is when we get the second solar term, which is called end of heat or limit of heat. It is exactly that. The hot summer is easing. And you might even notice it when you get up, the mornings are cooler. The evenings, you might need to wear a sweater. It makes for such beautiful, clear nights where you can have, you know, the most phenomenal stargazing. And I've seen some of the most amazing shooting stars at that time of year. If you will go out where it's nice and, you know, dark skies, when we go to the cottage. And many of the crops, as I mentioned, are coming into fruition in this time of year. So it's quite a productive time of year. The full moon of August is on August the 9th. And the historical names for the August full moon are Sturgeon Moon, Corn Moon, Grain Moon. And again, it's important to see that the opportunity that this full moon provides, you can see it as being the earth element embodied. So again, this boundary time in terms of chi encourages us to slow down. So maybe taking the inspiration from the full moon this month, from August's full moon, offering you stability, offering you grounding, you know, before you get into that really productive metal season of the autumn. And before that kind of marches into full swing, take some time to be still and to establish, you know, sort of this more balanced equanimity. August is also Angie's birthday. Happy birthday, Angie. Angie, will you take it over and talk a little bit about the Chinese zodiac?
So for August, in the Chinese zodiac, August is the month of the monkey. So that means that if you were born in the year of the rat, dragon, or snake, it's a supportive month for you. And if you're born in the year of the pig or the tiger, it's a month to be a little bit more careful because it's a challenging month. And speaking of challenge, there is, in the Chinese zodiac, there are more auspicious days and less auspicious days. So one of the inauspicious days that the community can be a little bit careful of, what we call a Po day, is August 13th. So use August 13th as a day to take care of yourself, and just keep in mind there can be some mischievous happenings that day, and just give yourself a little bit of a break and not to be so strict with yourself that day and allow things to flow a little bit more. Every month, we also share one of the handful of auspicious dates for each zodiac animal, and we offer this full list with our New Year's Reset program, which will happen at the next Lunar New Year. We'll go through and just share one date, one auspicious date for each zodiac animal. And this, of course, is based on your year animal. So if you're born in the year of the rat, a lucky day for you is August 24th. Ox, August 11th. Tiger, August 10th. Rabbit, August 21st. Dragon, August 20th. Snake, August 31st. Horse, August 18th. Ram, August 17th, monkey, August 28th, rooster, August 15th, dog, August 26th, and pig, August 30th.
So to recap, the chi of the month of August is shifting into yin energy very slowly. You will be feeling at the beginning of this month that peak of yang, but as we move in further into the month, it's going to tip over. And I think it's really a great time to take advantage of this boundary energy, the stabilizing energy that's coming in as we transition from fire into metal, this earth chi, and use it as a time to maybe just be still, take a beat before the busy time starts. And we all know, I don't know what it is about September, but it does seem to just, you know, be a little bit busy, whether you have back to school or not. It just is a real time of transition. And I think it is, you know, that metal energy really wants us to start to store, prepare, harvest, all that stuff. And so take a beat this month, use August, enjoy the last moments of summer, enjoy them, be present with them, and embrace that stillness for a little bit. So now Angie is going to do the I Ching reading for this month.
So every month we offer a divination reading. Sometimes it's Laura with the tarot, and this month it's me, Angie, with an I Ching reading. And so the I Ching is an ancient book of changes. It's one of the foundational texts of Taoism and Feng Shui. So if you are, even if you're a newbie, actually, you might be interested in exploring the I Ching. So for this month's Qi forecast, I asked the Oracle, what are the gifts offered to the Holistic Spaces listener community for August 2025? So it's like a little bit of a different question than I normally ask. So I received an interesting answer. So the hexagram that we received is hexagram 44, which is heaven over wind, Chen over Shun. This is also described in some books as encountering, another book, temptation, coming to meet. And if you're watching the YouTube, because we are on YouTube, I'll just share the image. Oops. From one of the books. This is from the Complete I Ching. And the image depicts a couple, a married couple, two people, implying a romantic relationship. And traditionally, it's understood as an encounter between a male and a female, but just a pair of people. And the ideograph, that image I showed, is like a woman, like a queen with her king. And so it's a little bit of a suggestive ideograph, but it's about coming together. One of the books indicates that this hexagram talks about how the wind blows everywhere under heaven, encountering every being, and that, you know, these two, if we want to look at it beyond a person or people or male and female, we can think about yin and yang, that yin and yang are coming together. And then there's this idea of temptation from this other translation where there's an indication of temptation coming into the picture. So temptation can be in terms of relationships. It could be offering your attention to something that you have not wanted to think about. It can be about being tempted to confronting ideas that you don't want to give power to. Also, maybe dangerous offers that you're going to be tempted by. So it's interesting because the question that we asked is, what is a gift? So Laura, what do you think about this? I need your help, I think, because it sounds like maybe the gift of August could be that we're going to receive very desirable, tempting things, but there's some kind of indication of being cautious, right?
Yeah, I think from this, what I'm taking away is the idea that you will be tested, you will be tempted by something, whatever that means. It kind of reminds me, when you're thinking about it, of the devil card in the tarot. So it's the idea of, it could be earthly things or things that maybe don't serve you. There's a temptation there to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And because we're talking about the I Ching, which is a very different modality and, you know, obviously has a different background, the Taoist perspective, the idea when you read about this particular hexagram, there's the idea of staying with self-discipline equanimity and routines, which I thought is a really interesting perspective. So, you know, perhaps this month you will be across your path, might come across a temptation or something might happen, or maybe you want to fall back to those old ways, those old comfort ways that are not particularly good for you. And you will be tested, and to know that if you just stick to the plan and you are disciplined, you have, you know, do your routines. You know, I talked a bit about the energy, much about staying grounded, maybe finding some stillness. So I see it that this month you are going to be tested with a temptation, or, you know, whatever that means for you. And it's going to be different for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And I think the outcome hexagram, so the changing line was the third line, is also called conflict. And another book is called contention. So I think maybe the gift is that you will receive this wonderfully tempting thing. And another part of that gift is that you're learning now that it's a temptation or an offer that is going to actually result in conflict if you move forward with it. So not to indulge in the temptation, but you can appreciate that the temptation was there. You can enjoy that part of it, but know that it's not going to amount to anything positive.
Yeah, I think both of them are cautionary hexagrams. One is the temptation might be there and it may not lead to what is the most productive path. And then the second, conflict, in hexagram six, you're talking about you just kind of plodding along on your path. You may have all of the best of intentions, but sometimes stuff just happens and there's a conflict or a consequence or some kind of a thing that will come upon your path or will maybe slow you down. And to know that this is normal for both, in my humble opinion, both to me have the concept of being tested. And I always say, you know, sometimes when you're on a path in life, or you've decided to do something, or you're, you know, moving through your journey, you will find these little tests that come along. And these are the opportunities that either teach you that, okay, no, it's okay to turn left or go right or do something a little bit differently. But maybe I just actually have to go straight through this because it's worth whatever I'm pursuing is worth it. So I think to be mindful of these tests, to make sure that they're not temptations that will lead you into sort of a place that doesn't serve you. And hopefully, you know, moving through this period of conflict and being aware. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. And there's also an importance in self-discipline again that you mentioned.
And routines, which I, of course, love routines. I'm that kind of a person though. So,
yeah. And I think that sometimes things like self-discipline has, especially in the West, has a negative connotation. I remember in a Buddhist studies class, we were looking at discipline because it's one of the paramitas. It's one of the perfections, the idea of discipline. And people often, like, especially in the West, I think if you look up the Latin term, it has to do with self-harm and self-inflicted self-discipline. Like, and it has a very harsh kind of connotation, like you're restricting yourself or you're hurting yourself. But from the I Ching point of view or the Eastern point of view, this discipline is more, it's more like a structure that gives you some bumpers to kind of guide you along your path. And within that structure or discipline comes a tremendous amount of freedom. So,
yeah, because so like, I think people immediately assume self-discipline means lack of freedom.
Right. But it's similar to like playing the piano. Once you learn how to play the piano, then there's so much joy and freedom that comes when you can improvise. But first, you know, you need to learn, once you learn the structure, or like if you, or any kind of musical instrument or feng shui for that matter, or a lot of arts or painting, right? Laura used to do oil painting. Like you can't just, I've never used oil paints, but it's not easy to just slap it on a
There
canvas.
Are some basic rules in order to sort of being able to express yourself in a certain way, it's sometimes important to just use and learn the basics at the beginning and the rules.
So that's a gift.
There you go. That's the gift. The gift is the gift of awareness is what we've given you all. I was sort of giving some thought to how we can tie this into using your space or your home to support you, or the feng shui to support you. And I think Angie had the same thought, but is when things are spinning out, or when you feel like you are lacking that self-discipline or self-control or whatever it is, find the center, find your center and find the center. And so working with the centers of the home, the centers of rooms, because in, you know, the center is a point of stillness, as everything else, you know, the Bagua sort of, you know, is around, move, everything is moving around you. And, you know, you're in the center receiving the benefits of it, you know, finding that, that center point, that harmony. And so working on the Tai Chi, which is the center of your overall home, or even the center of your bedroom, the center of any center of a room, taking a look at it, seeing what's there. I always love to challenge people to go and take a look at what is in the center of your home overall. Go into the dead center of your home and see what it is. And, you know, you don't judge yourself, or, you know, take a look and gain some awareness. And sometimes it's liberating to be able to open that area up, move something around, and see what happens when you give that place some space.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing is that if you're interested in the five elements, we have many episodes about the five elements. The metal element seems to be poking its head up here when we talked about structure and discipline and self-discipline and finding that joy and clarity that comes from discipline through metal elements. So some ways that you can invite that in is simply with the metal bell. So for instance, I was just talking to a friend yesterday who was asking me if she could use a singing bowl instead of a metal bell. And I said, well, you know, a typical singing bowl has this like very like deep harmonious sound that it creates, right? It's like or something, right? Whereas a metal bell, or a small, very small singing bell, which in my community we call a rin, is very high pitch. It's like ding. And that high sound of a metal bell versus the deep sound of a metal bowl lends itself to a different kind of energy. So the ding is very like that wakes you up. It's like you'll ring that in class when you need people to stop talking. It cuts through the chatter. It cuts through sleepiness. It brings attention to you. And so just maybe even having a bell and ringing it when you need to find some clarity, you could even ring it 9 times, but that a high-pitched, sharp metal bell to invite in more joy, more structure, more discipline and clarity, so that when these temptations to indulge, whether it means like sleeping too much or eating too much or indulging in gossip or whatever it is, right? Or in whatever your pattern is, that you can have a little bit of help to cut through it besides just your own wish. But you can enhance that wish to find more discipline with the energy of metal element.
Yes, good. 2 different ways to go about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, I have a little metal bell I can ring too. So we can close with that. So thank you all for listening to another episode of the Holistic Spaces podcast. You can tune in every Monday for a new podcast episode. And if you like our podcast and this episode, you can share this with others, subscribe, and leave a review. You can support us by checking out our certification, which will be open for enrollment pretty soon, and any mini courses we may have available at mindfuldesignschool.com. You can sign up for our mailing list there visiting mindfuldesignschool.com/join. Thank you so much.